Okay, here we go, part three. Do you remember what part three was, or part one and two? If not, go online and you'll see part one, two, and this will be part three. The mysteries of the kingdom revealed in parables. But Father, just thank you for your presence with us today, and I thank you that we are just a continual worship before you, O God, in all that we do. And I just thank you in Jesus' name. So today we're going to look at basically two very, very, very short parables. And then I'm going to speak about another one. So you want to turn to Matthew chapter 13. This is called the hidden treasure. It says the kingdom, 13:44. Did I say that? Chapter 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. That's the parable. You could memorize that parable, so you could say, hey, I memorized the parable. The next one comes right after that. It's called the costly pearl, and that's in verses 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls, and upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. There you go. There's the second parable. So this parable describes one seeking certain objects, pearls. He finds one of great value, sells it with all that he has, and he buys it. But the inference is the same as the hidden treasure. A man finds a treasure in a field and sold it and had bought it. This is the great, what I call the great purchase. But, you know, let me not go there first. Let me just read a couple of scriptures that go along with that. Mark chapter 10. Let's turn to Mark chapter 10. So this is not a parable. Jesus is actually talking to a man, starting in verse Mark 10, starting in verse 17. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up." Looking at him, Jesus felt love and compassion for him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." At these words, he was saddened and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. So here it just seems that the Lord is saying we need to buy something from him, right? That's what it appears to be. In Revelation 3:17, it says, "Because you say, 'I am rich and I've become wealthy and have need of nothing,' and you do not know you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by the fire, so that you may become rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you might see." So here again, it's pointing to the fact that we have to purchase something. Isaiah 55. It starts with, "Ho!" It reminded me of the recent, last year's, the greatest Christmas pageant ever, and the angel comes out and says, Shazam! And everybody's like, what? The angel doesn't say Shazam. Anyway, God's trying to get our attention. He says, everyone who thirsts comes to the waters, and you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Come and buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. So again, there's the inference that there's something that needs to be purchased. Now let's look at what Jesus says or has done for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 to 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. Now that's interesting. The other scriptures are talking about us purchasing the kingdom, and now here it says that God has purchased us. 1 Corinthians 7:22. For he who was called, for he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who was called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men, brethren. Each of you remain with God in that condition which you called. So here again it says, we have been bought with a price. Sounds like a paradox, doesn't it? Revelation 5:9. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. So what is it? What do we have to do? What's going on here? If we go back to Isaiah 55, we'll see that the paradox really is not a paradox. Isaiah 55. So again, he says, ho, everybody who thirsts comes to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Now, here we go. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. Again, he says, incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. You know, this is another way of saying the foundation needs to be laid. We need to first hear the voice of the Lord and respond to him. And listening to him, he says, in doing that, we can eat something. Something that cannot be bought with money. And that when we do that, it says, we'll eat and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear, come to me, listen to me, that you may live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, according to the faithful mercies shown to David. Behold, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you will call a nation you do not know, and a nation which knows you will not run to you, because of the Lord your God, even the one Israel. For he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. So there's something we must do. We need to call upon him while he is near. And then it says, let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. Now you see what's going on here? There's something being exchanged. We draw near to God, and God gives us something. He makes a covenant with us. He says there's an abundance in that. Got to find out where I was. Sorry here. All right, I'll go back here. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous his thought. So something is being given up. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and the Lord and to our God. He will abundantly pardon. And it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, or your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. So this is what's happening. First of all, we cannot buy the kingdom with money. So how can we purchase it without cost? From what I see, the solution is an exchange. We are called to make an exchange. Back to verse 2. Listen carefully to me. Eat what is good. Delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear to me. Listen that you may live. Listen. That's something we need to do. We're listening to the Lord that we may live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David. Verses 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him. Call upon him. Verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. So the exchange is my will for his will. The exchange is all that I have for all that he has. And the exchange, my life for his life. Matthew 10:37 says, he who loves the father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it. He who has lost his life for my sake will find it. You see the exchange? Matthew 16:24-25. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You know, when I first got saved, the Holy Spirit was moving. I had no idea the Holy Spirit was moving, but it was moving because something was going on inside of my heart and my flesh was trembling. It's like, oh my goodness, I am going to hell. And it was so real that when he made the offer for people to come and receive Jesus, I went right up there. I have no idea what they prayed over me. I know nothing other than the Holy Spirit was working in my life. So there again was the first thing. I had nothing. I really was a really I was like a bum, basically. Yeah, I was a bum. I had nothing, but I had myself. I had a will. I could have said, no, I don't want Jesus. But it was a powerful move, and many of you have experienced the same thing. It's that one moment we have to make an exchange, my will for his will. And in that moment, I had no idea that that's what was happening, but I was surrendering myself up there because I knew if I didn't do that, I was going to hell and I'll miss it. And I knew that. I knew it. And so the Lord was just so gracious to me as time goes on. You know, he didn't say, okay, Paul, I have a whole list of things here. I've got all your various lusts and behaviors, your vices, your money issues, your sinful anger, fears, jealousy, anger, pride. He says, I'm going to start dealing with you all at once. No, he doesn't do that. If he did, I would have been melted on the floor. So he's so gracious because I really didn't fully surrender, right? I didn't. I just moved in that one moment. And one of the things I did notice, which I didn't even realize till like weeks later, my language changed like that. I cursed all the time, you know, all those nice words that you just use in between every other word just because it's cool, you know. It just like went away. I didn't even have to try. It was like the Lord saying, see, I could change, make a difference. Then he began on some of my lustful behaviors, which were different in different facets. And he began to just show me where I was wrong. And so I had to make a decision to begin to change. One was money. I had a real big issue with money. You know, when I was a kid, I stole from my sisters. I stole from my parents. I stole from the company that I was delivering papers for. I stole from my customers I was delivering papers to. Like I would deliver papers to them. And on Sunday, there was an insert. And the insert was like three times the size as the regular paper. And it made 50 papers very heavy. So one Sunday, I ditched all the inserts. Now, how many people would just love to see your Sunday paper with all the ads of the stores missing in your paper? Vera would be very upset. And the interesting thing was someone saw me do that. Take those inserts and chuck them in a garbage bin. Whatever I did, I forget. They told my parents. And so all my customers were complaining that week that they didn't get the insert. But that was just a piece. Then as I got older, I stole from my employers. I stole from the government because I didn't report my taxes every year. I mean, I just had a hard time with money. And because of that, I was a bum. I didn't have money, you know, and I had to connive and do things in order to get money. And so God just began to work on me. And one of the first things he did, now here I am saved. I believe I was saved. Now listen closely. Rick is going to love this. One of the first things the Lord talked to me about money was tithing. Tithing. I mean, I didn't even have money to tithe. And tithing is not a legal thing. Tithing is something that we do voluntarily in our heart. But the scriptures in Malachi, so it says, if you give to the Lord, he'll bless you. And he'll sew up the pocket that has the hole in it that keeps losing money. And literally within days, my life began to change. Because then I didn't even have a car. I mean, I had nothing. At one point, I didn't even have a job when I first moved out. It was really difficult. But little by little, the Lord taught me that the money was not mine. It's his. And so I began, if I earned $100, I put $10 in the tithe box. You know, if I earned $200, I put $20 in the tithe box. And little by little, year after year, things began to change. And what's very interesting, you can actually see the time, because when I get my statement from the IRS, it gives you the whole list of years. You can see like the first couple of years, it said like $300 and then zero and then $500. And then you could see the place where basically I began to tithe, and all of a sudden the money just started increasing, you know. Anyway, we won't get off into that. But, you know, it's an exchange. I had to exchange my desires and my ways for his desires and his ways. Amen? Let's hear those amens. And in each of these, as years went on, each of these, I realized that everything God was changing. He was putting the kingdom of God into my heart. And it was only by the power of the Holy Spirit that these things actually happened. Because it was the Holy Spirit that was speaking to me about the issues, convicting me of the things I had issues with. And I had to respond to that. And as I responded to that, he gave me the wherewithal to know what to do. And then he came where I had no control, and he actually delivered me and set me free. And this happens every single day. It does not stop. Every single day I make decisions. It's like I want to do something, and it's like the Holy Spirit said, Paul? Anybody relate to that? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. You said no one seeks after you, but you came and revealed yourself. And I thank you for the changes that you've brought about in my life. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20. He, meaning Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Jesus wants first place in everything in your life. And some of those things are going to be hard. Some of them might be easy. Some of them you may have to pray and fast for a change. But he wants first place in everything in your life. Your thoughts, your words, your finances, your relationships, all those things, first place. That reminded me when I spoke about the parable of the wedding feast, and I kind of gave it as a timeline of historical chapters in biblical life. And at the end it says, but when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed with wedding clothes. And he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes? And the man was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, throw him into outer darkness. In that place will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, a few chosen. Now that seems like that was harsh. But I looked up, this week Roger Balzan sent me a video, had to do with a parable of the wedding feast, and had to do specifically of this guy. And the person that was sharing it, it says that it was customary when a king had a banquet or something, he would give the clothes to the people they needed to wear. So let me read this commentary that I found online. It's called Bible Tools. It says, the custom in those days was for the one hosting the wedding feast, in this case the king, to provide garments for the wedding guests. These wedding garments were simple, nondescript robes that all attendees wore. In this way, rank or station was covered so everyone at the feast could mingle as equals. The wedding garment identified the righteous The wedding garment identifies the righteous, those who lived according to God's ways. When the king entered the wedding hall, noticed that the one guest clearly stood out from all the others because he was not wearing the wedding garment. Having the man brought forward, the king asked, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? The sense of the question is one of how do you say that? It's a tough one. I can't even pronounce it. Okay. It might be better phrased, why are you not wearing a wedding garment, even though one was provided for you, right? The man was plainly not dressed correctly for the occasion. His lack of a wedding garment was another example of an extreme disrespect for both the king and his son. The wording, and he was speechless, indicates he was without excuse. It was not that he lacked a wedding garment, but he did not wear one on purpose. He defiantly refused to put one on. And I put in, he was unwilling to make the exchange. And so we see that in a couple of verses here. Revelation 3:17-18. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by the fire, so that you may become rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and the eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Revelation 19:7-8. Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, for the marriage supper of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true words of God. See, that's something that is given to us, but we need to put it on. I think I turned the pages too fast here. Hold on a second. So I was also thinking one more thought before I'm going to close. We're actually going to close with a song. But I was thinking about the parable of the talents, which I also shared with you. And each of the person, the one man was given five, the next one was given two. And the third one was given one talent, which was 15 years of wages. And basically, the master said, here, basically do something with this. Make a profit for me. I'm going away. I'm giving you something. And we know that the first two were profit. They made a profit. And the other one just hid his gift away. He just says he dug a hole and he hid it. And then when he came back, he took it out of the hole. And he too was told to go out into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so all the things that God gives us, we need to be careful to value them and to care for them. I'll give you just a quick story with that for me. God, years ago, he set me free from a big addiction of cigarettes. I smoked almost 3 packs a day. That's a lot of smoke going into your lungs. And I tried, and it just didn't work. And then one day I was working down in New York City on the pier at a Dr. Pepper festival. And I was on a break, and I was standing at the end of the pier, and there was a dumpster there, and the Lord said, throw your cigarettes in the dumpster. So I knew what he was going. I mean, I was wrestling with this for years. So I threw the cigarettes in there. And then he says, throw the lighter in. Lord, I don't smoke lighters. Obviously, it was part of the habit, right? You need the match to light the cigarette. So I threw that in. In that moment, my addiction was gone. It was gone. I didn't have to chew gum. I didn't get the shakes. It was gone. I was completely delivered from nicotine addiction. Now, shortly after that, I was on a tour at that time. And we were at the concert. There was a little party going on. I was there, and I had, I had a beer or something like that. And as soon as I drank the alcohol, I forget what it was, the urge to smoke came back, and I asked someone for a cigarette. I was like, and then I lit it, and the Holy Spirit says, Paul, what are you doing? So in that moment, I repented to the Lord. I put the cigarette out, and I said, I'm not going to drink anymore, because it just lowered my temptation or my desire for that. I don't need that addiction back in my life. And so that's something we need to value. We need to value those things. If he sets you free from them, well, don't go there, you know. Just don't go there. Tie yourself to the bed with rope and don't go there, whatever it takes. Anyway, I just wanted to end with that. It's just as God builds his kingdom into your life, value those things because they're eternal and they're from God himself. It is something that he's doing. Right? We talked about the priesthood and what he's building. He's building a temple where he's gonna live for eternity. A living with living stones. So, Robin, would you come back up, and we're going to sing a song that just came to me today as I was finishing this up, and I thought it was appropriate. And the title is I Surrender All. And the words are going to be put up on the overhead. Yes. I put the copy on each of the stands for the girls. I put copies on the stand for each of the girls. Yeah. Jesus, I surrender all to Him I freely give. I will love and love and trust Him in His presence daily. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender. To Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take. Yes, Lord. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. To Jesus I surrender, make me Savior wholly Thine. Let my inner Holy Spirit truly know that Thou. Yes, Lord, Jesus. I surrender all, and I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power, let Thy blessing fall on. I surrender all. Oh, I surrender all. All to Thee, my Blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. Now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to His name. I surrender all, and I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender. Surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender. Jesus.